Hello, my name is Steve Osborne, Senior Pastor of the Alive Vineyard. I'm here today to share with you a little bit more about what we've been talking about these last few weeks about God's amazing grace. We begin with prevenient grace, where God woos us until we finally take notice that He cares and He loves us. And then we turn our hearts towards Him, and when we do that, we fall in love with Him. And when we fall in love with Him, He invites us to become a part of Him by salvation, where we take a look at that cross, where He died on the cross to save us from our sins, and we realize what extent He would go to show us just how much He loves us. So we come to the point where we realize we deserve to die for our sins, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so therefore we become very guilt-ridden, realizing that our sin is what put Him on the cross. So we come humbly before His throne, we kneel before Him, and we say, Father, forgive us, I'm a sinner. And we say, I believe in the cross, that You died for me. And then we look up to heaven, and He does just that. He just pours over us His forgiving grace. We call that justifying grace. We go from prevenient grace, where He woos us, and we come to that point where we have justifying grace, where He justifies us. So that when we stand before the throne of God, it's not because of what we've done, it's because of what He did. And we realize we accepted Him. And like Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, and that He died on the cross to save you from your sins, and then if you confess that with your mouth, you will be saved. And so we come to a justifying point where we want Jesus to be the Savior of our life, and we confess Him from the cross that He died for me, for us. And so therefore we go from prevenient grace to justifying grace. And now we go to means of grace. Once you've made that decision, you have to live it out. You have to find a way to keep your faith alive. And that's the means of grace that God gives us day by day, hour by hour, as we begin to walk through life with Him. We read His Word. His Word is a means of grace in which we find life and hope and meaning. We get baptized, and the baptism after salvation, after we've made that decision for Him, becomes an outward testimony of what Christ has done for us. He's washed us clean, and then we take communion, we go to the Lord's Supper, and we realize and we remember, along with our brothers and sisters in Christ, that Jesus, His body was broken for us, His blood was shed to cover us from our sins. As we go through the means of grace, there's many means of grace. And there's friendship, there's fellowship, there's sermons, there's lots of ways that we can hold on to our faith. Your devotional life is very important. But one of the most powerful means of grace is prayer, and just praying. And that's what I'm going to talk about right now, sanctifying grace and what that means. And because it's the next step that you have when you become a Christian. You have to your prevenient grace and justified grace, and you live living out means of grace. There comes a point where you want to give your whole life to God, and you want to be totally committed to Him. And you come before Him, and you find that no matter how hard I try, I don't seem to be living up to the relationship that I want to live up to. The Thessalonican church was doing that. They were living up to what God wanted them to live up to. And Paul was proud of them. He was very proud of them. But when he gets into the closing words of Thessalonica, this is what he says in the 5th chapter, verses 12 through 22. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. And then he says this, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from evil, every form of evil. In verse 23, he says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. But in verse 23, he says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely." Sanctify you entirely is what I want to look at. Entire sanctification. Sanctifying you entirely. Why? So that your spirit and your soul and your body can be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says, "Faithful is he who calls you, and also he who will bring it to pass." He called you. He wooed you. Came to that point where he died for you. And then he's been standing with you ever since to get you through all the issues of life. His means of grace is that he doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. When you accepted him as your personal Savior, you've got a Savior that lives inside you. He's always present. And you can talk to him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But there's a hunger inside you sometimes that you want to take even deeper walk. And that's what entire sanctification is. It's not just when you get saved, fire insurance, so to speak, but it's when you go much deeper in the Lord and you begin to want his heart to be your heart. You want to feel his feelings and you want to express his feelings to the other people around you. We have the sower of the seed in Luke chapter 8. And what kind of seed are you? Four kinds of seed. The seed that fell by the wayside, the seed that fell on rocky ground, the seed that fell among thorns, and the seed that fell on fertile soil that matured and produced a hundredfold crop. What kind of seed are you? What kind of seed is planted inside you when you accepted your Savior? Is it one that you just accepted Christ and you've gone on since then? Or something you want to go deeper? And that's what I want to look at as we begin the challenges of what's going on in our lives in sanctifying grace, a hunger for more of God. So you ask the question, what kind of seed are you? And you begin to start thinking and deepening, going deeper. Now I want to talk about God's astounding sanctifying grace. When your inner voice encounters the good news message that the divine creator accepts and loves you, you really have a hard time believing it. He disciples you in that covenant relationship as you begin to understand that he is now inside you, like I said, guiding your steps. But your sense that there is more, you know that there's more, there has to be more. Are you ready to receive that next precious gift of God's grace? You have the Father's love and you have the Son's forgiveness, but let me introduce you to the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. The Father loved you so much he gave his only begotten Son. The Son loved you so much he died on the cross. Now I want you to know the Holy Spirit loves you too, the third member of the Holy Trinity, and he's willing to completely sanctify you. It's a precious gift. It's something that God does. It's not something that you do. And so I want us to understand the deeper walk that's possible in this life. We think that we don't really get to that point until we get to heaven. But let me tell you, we do get it right here on this planet. You can begin to love with God's love. You can begin to forgive with God's forgiveness. Let's talk about entire sanctification. It is God who wants your heart to be entirely sanctified. Now that the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and your soul and your body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. It is God who wants it to entirely sanctify you. Okay, he wants to do it for you. He wants, this is like the gift of salvation. It's not something you do. It's something he's done for you. And to be entirely sanctified is not something you do. It's something he's done for you. So you need to hold on to the reality that, relax. In Christ Jesus, he has something for you. If you have heard the phrase, the only way to get it done right is to do it yourself, that's the phrase that won't work with sanctifying grace. God is the essence of holiness. There is no one else. So no other thing or person that can make us holy, much less entirely sanctify us. It is God. He wants you to be entirely sanctified, and he wants it done, and he wants it done right. Therefore, he is going to do that himself. So therefore, we have to relax and know that Christ Jesus is our hope for sanctification. I want to take you a little bit deeper into that walk that we have with Christ Jesus. and talk about how easy it is to get sanctified. See, it's something I didn't understand when I first became a Christian. I didn't realize that sanctification was another work of grace that God wants to do in my life. It took me probably several years before I got to that point. But when your inner voice encounters the good news message that the divine creator accepts and loves you, you really have a hard time believing that that's what's going on. And so you question it. I can't be entirely sanctified. To sanctify means to be holy. And God tells us he wants us to be holy. He tells us that in the Old Testament, and he tells us that in the New Testament. Therefore, you are to be holy. That word there means entirely perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, that's Jesus talking in Matthew 5, verse 48. Therefore, you are to be holy and literally perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Paul wrote a couple of letters to the church, and I'm looking at just one of those letters today as we think about being entirely sanctified. Bottom line, God wants to sanctify you, to set you apart. That's what sanctifying is being perfect, set apart from the rest of the world that's not perfect. He made Adam and Eve. He wanted the fellowship with them in the garden. He wanted a perfect love to flow before them. You are to bear the most awesome aspect of Jesus, and that's his perfect love. He's the kind of love that he stood from the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. A perfect love is perfect forgiveness. You are to be sold out fully to God so that you can love everybody, even your enemies, even those who persecute you, even those who turn against you or laugh at you. Maybe people who talk about you on Facebook, people who shun you at restaurants. He wants you to share it with his perfection. He loves every one of those people. Sanctifying grace is a cleansing grace. It's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you can't do that unless you have God's love. Your love is not going to be ever good enough. I want you to imagine being a person wandering in the wilderness with the Israelites. That's the holiness understanding that I began to see in the scripture. God is holy. God is a personal spirit. God is all-powerful. God is sovereign. He is righteous. God is absolute truth. God is just. God is ever-present. God is merciful. God knows everything. 1 John 1:5 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." Oh my. And God wants me to be like that? You ask, I ask. We look up there and say, how on earth can I be total light like God is? Well, you can't be. But Jesus can be through you. To say that God is holy means that there's no trace of evil in his character. Because only God is holy, any people or objects that are said to be holy are described in this manner because God has made them holy or set them apart. So we've been set apart as a people. We are a peculiar people, the Old Testament says. I have chosen you. Therefore, the term holy is applied to persons or objects that have some type of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They are set apart for his service. Leviticus 20, verse 26 says, "You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own." Now, the early Jews thought this meant that they had to follow all the Ten Commandments and all the rules and regulations. That's what was going to make them holy. And to be honest, that's what God meant. You have to follow all these Ten Commandments and all the subtitles of all those commandments. And they started building up commandment after commandment after commandment. And they had a relationship with God which had to do with works. Well, am I being good enough? And that's not what he meant by setting us apart and calling us his people. John 17:11 says, "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world." Jesus is talking to the Father. He says, "I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." As you become one with Jesus Christ, and he has become one with his Father, we become part of that. He wants us to be included in that relationship. And that's what real holiness is about. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's a relationship with people around you. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:15, "But just as he has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do." Well, how do you do that? It has to do with your heart, folks. It has to do with giving your heart to Jesus Christ and allowing his heart to be your heart. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, it says, each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Only God is holy, and only you can be holy if you are a part of him. The main idea behind holiness is separation. God is separate from all sin. He is perfect in his nature. His character is one of flawless moral perfection. Holiness has a positive and a negative side. On the positive side, he always does what is right. On the negative side, he is separate from all sin. Believers are commanded to be holy as God is holy. That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? It is God who wants your heart to be entirely sanctified. Remember, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace and himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of the Lord. There's the key, without blame. You don't carry blame anymore. And you can't let other people be blamed either. Now may the God of peace himself, the himself here is to emphasize who we're talking about, God himself. He just could have said, just may God sanctify you entirely. He said, no, the God of peace, and then the God himself, the God of peace himself, and sanctify you entirely. Here we see this emphasized. It is God himself, who wants to entirely sanctify you. He wants to sanctify you. Jump down to verse 24. He who calls, that is God, is faithful. When God promises something, you know that it is going to be done. God is faithful, and he's a faithful God, is going to keep his word. He said he's going to do that for you, and you need to let him do it. Also in verse 24, it says, and he will also bring it to pass. This is stated as fact. It is indicative in the tense. And he will bring it to pass. It is God the Holy Spirit who inspired Paul to write this, word for word. There's no question as to who is going to be performing the act of entirely sanctifying believers. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. God is the one who initiates and completes entire sanctification, which is his sanctifying grace. Now, don't let theology stand in the way of the relationship. If you have your theology messed up, see, when I got entirely sanctified, I had no idea that there was a doctrine of it. It was experience for me. You've heard the phrase, the only way to get it done is to do it right yourself, like I said. Well, God is the essence of holiness. There's no one else. No one can make us holy, much less entirely sanctify us. It must be God. He wants you to be entirely sanctified, and he wants it done and done right. Therefore, he himself is going to do it. Why is this so important? It's important because you cannot do it yourself. It's not possible. Many times people try to go through a process, a struggle, or an agony. I want to be better. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to quit this. And if they were going to convince God to grant entire sanctification, the blessing of entire sanctification only requires your obedience and allowing God to do his work in your life. It is God who wants your heart to be entirely sanctified. This blessing, specific to believers, verse 23 and 24, you means the believers at Thessalonica, stand strong. So therefore, entire sanctification is a blessing specific to believers. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you've been justified and you've been trying to work towards your relationship to make it stronger, entire sanctification is for you. Isaiah 64:6 says that the unbeliever's righteousness is as filthy rags, a soiled rag. So no matter how hard you try, it doesn't matter. You're not good enough. When you accept Christ, that's when your righteousness begins in Christ Jesus. And then there's going to be an accounting, once you made a decision for Christ, of what you've done for him. And that's what all those parables are about. Once you make a decision, now you can't build up treasures in heaven before you become a Christian. It's not possible, because you're not going to go, so there's no place to build it. But once you begin your walk with Christ, then you start building up treasures in heaven. Lay up for treasures, your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot corrupt, and where thieves cannot come in and steal. So your life has been a filthy rag up until now. Now you're laying up treasures in heaven, and you're struggling, and you keep falling on your face. Well, relax. You must have your sins washed away by the blood of Christ and have begun the process of sanctification before you become a candidate for entire sanctification. Turn to chapter 1 in 1 Thessalonians. Here we examine the character of the Thessalonican believers. They had a faith that worked. Verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Verse 2. They were followers. Number one, they had faith that worked. Secondly, they were followers. They were imitators of Paul and the Lord, even in spite of persecution. Verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. I've always said joy comes from the Holy Spirit. Happiness comes from happenings. They had the joy of the Holy Spirit, and the happenings weren't going very good. They were being afflicted, but they still had the joy of the Holy Spirit. Number 3, they became examples of all they believed in Macedonia and Achaia and everywhere. 1 Thessalonians 1:7. So that you may become examples of all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Number 4, they truly repented. These guys in Thessalonica were, number 1, they had faith. Number 2, they were followers and imitators of Paul and Jesus. They became, number 3, they became examples for the people around them, Macedonia and Achaia. These were heathen areas. These were people that were almost considered enemies, and yet they still became examples of Christ for them. And number 4, they truly repented. Verse 9, the Thessalonians, what it says, for they themselves declare concerning us that what manner of entry we had it to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So they had repented of their idols. Number 5, they were expectantly waiting for the return of Christ. Verse 10 says, and we wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Jesus, folks, is coming back. And these Thessalonians, they were expectantly waiting for the return of Christ. I'm expectantly waiting for the return of Christ. Aren't you expectantly waiting for the return of Christ? It seems like every generation thinks it's getting so bad, he should be coming back any minute. And I think we're at that point, too. There's so much going on in the world. There's persecution. There's heartache. Every which way you turn, we need the Lord Jesus to come back. But he'll come back on his own terms, on his own timetable. But you are to expectantly wait, just like the Thessalonians. You'd be proud to go to a church like that, wouldn't you? That had all these characteristics? We can see that these Thessalonians were definitely born-again Christians in an age which was hard to be a Christian. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. Verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We don't have to say anything to you guys because you guys have got it all. Yet he wishes for them entire sanctification. I hope you will be hungry for what God has for you. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Once you have repented of your sins and confessed faith in God, you then become eligible for entire sanctification experience. If you are a believer, then entire sanctification is definitely for you. God wants you to give you his holiness, his pure love for others. You are transformed into Christ-likeness. The word sanctification and holiness have the same basic meaning. In the general sense, sanctification or holiness is the work of God in us through the Holy Spirit. Thereby, we are transformed, exchanged into Christ-likeness. If you choose to allow God to take over your heart, it will affect every other relationship you have or will have. You are separated to God as his possession, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. When you become holy, you allow God to redeem you from your sins, thus becoming his possession. We can be thankful that he is going to be a better master of our lives than we could ever be. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. I was struggling to be a Christian, and I had some real struggles with my life. I was in college. I've been a Christian since I was 16 years old. I'd been preaching and teaching. I was fasting and praying. I was doing everything, but I was struggling because I didn't understand the full forgiveness of God, the full power of that forgiveness in my life. The Holy Spirit takes you out of your ability to hate and gives you unconditional forgiveness. At the moment of the new birth or initial sanctification, you're brought into a God's family and made holy because of God, Christ forgiving your sins. Your sins have been forgiven, and the process of sanctification began strongly in your life. However, there's something more. Entire sanctification is a separate moment of faith in your walk with Christ, where you completely surrender all you are. Romans 12:1 fits here. And you allow the Holy Spirit to remove inherited depravity or self-centeredness and completely fill you with His presence. You've been living your life for yourself, even as a Christian. You're still seeking after all the stuff that this world has, but you call yourself a Christian because you do believe, and you are saved, but you're still living the life as if it's your life that you call the shots. And you also have this struggle because there's people you don't like. You still have an ability to hate. You still have a problem with your mouth or with your attitude. You're still struggling with your parents or coworkers or your bosses. You're still out there struggling with how to be a Christian. When someone slaps you, you want to immediately slap them back. You see, that's still Old Testament theology. Doing to them as they do unto you? No, you need to change your attitude. This is where sanctification begins to be a struggle. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, about halfway through the books, verses 9 to 10, he says, "For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect that which is lacking in your faith." He's talking to these people. You heard all that they were doing in the first two chapters. Now he says they're praying night and day to see their face and perfect that which is lacking in their faith. Even after the good things we noticed in Thessalonian believers, there was something that was lacking in their faith. They had been made holy, and now Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to pray for their entire sanctification, their entire holiness, to make them like God. You know, we talk about the unpardonable sin. Well, the reality is he gives us the ability to pardon everybody in our hearts. You see, it's not my job to judge anybody, no matter what they've done. That's God's job, and he'll take care of all those things. My job is to love them, just like it was Jesus' job to love everybody. As he was stretched out there on the cross, he looked at people who had beaten him, who had trashed him, who had strung him up naked before crowds of people. The embarrassment of it all. He was hung between thieves. And he looked out at the people and says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." See, he had the ability to forgive everybody. And he wants you to have that ability to forgive everybody, not to have grudges, not to hold things against anybody. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do that as a human. You can't do that as a normal Christian. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to give you that kind of love. And that's what sanctifying grace is all about. You learn how to love God with all your heart. And He is your Lord. He's your Savior. And you can't stand not to be around Him. You want Him to be a part of every aspect of your life. Even when you make mistakes, you want Him to be right there with you. And then also, you start loving your neighbor. And there's no one who can hurt you anymore, because no matter what they say, you still love them. I mean, sometimes it can get pretty hard. And I can't imagine what it'd be like to be in a country like in the Middle East, where they're persecuting Christians, they're burning down their churches, they're imprisoning the pastors, they're separating husbands and wives, all because they love Jesus. And I can't imagine, because I'm not persecuted like that. But I know one thing. God's already taken out my ability to hate. Because since that time, I was on my knees in my sophomore year of Mount Vernon Nazarene College. I have not hated anybody. And I know that's not Steve Osborne. Steve Osborne had a great ability to hate. But God took that out of me. And now when I see people, I just love them. I love you all. I love everybody. And I can't say that because it's me. I say that because it's the Holy Spirit. And I do love everybody. And that's why sanctifying grace is such a powerful experience. The Holy Spirit has a whole new world for you to live in. And it's right here on this planet. It's not when you get to heaven. It starts right now. Jesus already started his kingdom. And you get to be a part of that kingdom. So entire sanctification will purify and strengthen your walk with Christ. You may find it helpful to think of salvation and entire sanctification as the difference between engagement and getting married. At both points, you are in love. At both points, you have forsaken all others to find your pursuit and happiness in making your beloved happy. But at the point of marriage, there's an unconditional surrender to your beloved. Your relationship is markedly strengthened. Suddenly, you're not just engaged to each other, you're married to each other. The two become one flesh. There are now no more limits or curfews in your relationship. You're both learning what it means to love each other in all ways and all times. This is similar to the difference between being saved and being entirely sanctified. Being saved, you're forgiven. You've got your fire insurance. Being entirely sanctification, you belong to Jesus, and your Jesus belongs to you. You are connected to him, and you know everywhere you go, he's going with you. He's standing beside you. He's walking with you. He loves you, and you love him. And as you go through life, you're proud to say the name of Jesus. You're proud to say, I am a Christian, and I believe. Why? Because he came and conquered your heart. Entire sanctification is an infilling of the Holy Spirit like none other. It's something that excites you, and you don't get it any other way because you can't earn it. No matter how many devotions or whatever, you can't pray the right prayer to get it. You have to relax and say, Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart. I love you with everything I want, and I don't want anything in my life what you want for me. But I'm having a problem, Lord. I confess. I don't live up to your standards. Your standards are too great for me. I can't do it, Lord. But I do want that because you tell me I'm supposed to be holy even as you are holy. So I surrender, Lord. I surrender my inability to love my neighbor. I need you to help me to love you more and to love my neighbor the same way you do. So, Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. And I just pray that you'll pour over me with that kind of love to entirely sanctify so I can look at people and know I love them. Because of not what I've done, because of what you've done inside me. Folks, that's sanctifying grace. That's the key to sanctifying grace. I challenge you, if you've not prayed a prayer like that, pray that prayer in your life. Make him whole. Make him the sole purpose of your getting up in the morning. And as you go to bed at night, relax. Even if you made mistakes, you're going to do better tomorrow. And this moment that you're in right now is the most important moment of your life. It's that moment when you think about Jesus. And he honors you when you do. God bless you. Again, my name is Steve Osborne. This is the Alive Vineyard of Lincoln County, 7602 Stewart Road in Newark, Ohio. We worship every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We're on the radio on K98 at 11 a.m. And so join us. And if you want, join us for the podcast so that you can hear a further look. It's what the name of the podcast is, a further look of some of the things I talk about on Sunday mornings. God bless you, and may you have a wonderful life in Jesus Christ. Amen.